Mimecast is an international company whose focus is on mitigating cybersecurity threats. It specializes in cloud-based email management with associated security features. It was co-founded by South African Peter Bauer, who is now the company's CEO. It's said that Bauer conceived of the cloud long before many of his peers. Mimecast was launched in 2003. It has since listed on the NASDAQ in New York and is truly a global company. To tell us about the concept, the journey, and the capabilities now being offered to global clients, I'm joined on the line by Peter Bauer. He's the CEO of Mimecast. Thanks very much for joining us, Peter. Your story sounds quite fascinating. What's your academic discipline, and when did you start thinking about cloud services? And when you shared the concept with others, what was the reaction?
Yeah, great. Thanks, Dompu. So, my background, as you said, originally South African, and moved to the UK and met my co-founder, who's also originally South African, Neil Murray. And between the two of us, we had a little bit of experience in building tech companies. We both built tech companies in South Africa and sold them in the mid-90s or the late 90s, and really came together around email and saw how it was becoming such a mission-critical application. While it was becoming such a mission-critical application, it was also becoming extremely complex and also emerging as a serious security threat inside organizations. And so the concept that we came up with was, could we use cloud technology to make the situation much better? Could we simplify all of the different pieces that companies needed to be able to run a business class of email service, but could we also make it profoundly safer for business? So that was the founding vision, and we built out an architecture to do this and started introducing it to the market, including South Africa, in about 2004.
So in as simplest term as possible, what products and services does Mimecast offer, and which are your key markets?
So normally the way it works is customers direct their inbound email to our cloud services before it's allowed to pass down to their end users' mailboxes. Now, their mailboxes may be hosted in their own corporate mail server, or it may be in a service like Office 365 from Microsoft. And what we do is we run every single message through a gauntlet of tests to make sure that it's authentic. And we're looking for things like impersonation attempts. Are they trying to pretend somebody to be somebody that they're not? Is there content in there indicating fraud? Are there URLs that are trying to take users to phishing sites? Is there malware in there? Is there evasive malware that really needs to be interrogated inside attachments? So that's the way the service works. And it really looks to bring trust back to email and do that at a time when email has really been the number one attack vector and the entry point for so many sort of crippling cyber attacks. Yeah, the second part of your question had been around which markets we address. Now, typically, our customers are organizations with fairly under-resourced IT teams. So we have some very large customers like government departments, like airlines, manufacturing companies, educational institutions. But about 75% of our revenue is done in what we would describe as the mid-market, organizations that employ between 100 and 5,000 people. And that's really around the world. South Africa is an important market for us. It represents about 12 or 13% of our global revenue today. Obviously, the U.S. is massive. It's about 50%. U.K. and Europe is a little bit over a third. And then we have a presence in Australia, the Middle East. And then more recently, through an acquisition, we have an R&D center, a cybersecurity center, based out of Israel as well.
Wow. So you set up shop in 2003, somewhere there, and ended up listing on the NASDAQ by 2015. What were some of the highlights and lowlights that occurred in the intervening period? And at what point did you and your team begin to believe that you could list on the New York Stock Exchange?
Great. So as you say, we listed on NASDAQ a tiny bit over 3 years ago, so November of 2015. And it's been such an interesting journey and an unusual journey. I guess not many founders get to build a company and stay with it and continue to be in a leadership position through into public life. So I really enjoy it, to be honest. And really it's enabled by two things, I think, two fundamental things. One is a really strong business model, a subscription-based business model with customers that stay with us for a very, very long time. And that gives us huge predictability and stability. And then secondly, obviously, my team and the amazing people that work inside the company that we call Mimecasters. I think some of the highlights, I mean, the IPO itself was a tremendously energizing experience and I think very rewarding for so many people that have worked hard to build the business to see the company up, you know, on that platform, playing in a bigger league than we'd played before and getting that visibility. In terms of some of the things that, you know, have been really tricky, I think it's been such a learning curve for so many of us, particularly, you know, we've grown up in this business. I was 29 when I started the company and didn't have, you know, this is the biggest job that I've ever had. So, you know, many of the bumps along the way, if I think about the financial crisis of 2008, really figuring out how to navigate that as a fairly fragile company, growing and evolving the team, developing products, some of which, you know, we had to really get good at developing new products. In the beginning, perhaps we weren't so good at figuring out what quality needed to look like. So it's an amazing journey and a real privilege to be able to lead a company, you know, now at our scale and in a global setting.
Yeah. So, Peter, what sort of trends are you seeing when it comes to cybersecurity? As I know, it's one of those threats that's said to keep CEOs up at night.
Yeah, and I believe it should. I think it should be on the top five worry list for all CEOs. It can be so impactful. I mean, we've seen, obviously, the high-profile breaches, the Marriott breach recently in the U.S., a global breach, I guess, you know, with Starwood. The trend that we've seen, and we actually recently made an acquisition to be able to help customers with this issue, is really figuring out what the human factor is. How do you take your employees and move them from being what's previously been characterized by security professionals as the weakest link in the chain? Mm. How do you change that and actually turn them into, you know, a real augmentation of your security program? So we've launched Mimecast User Awareness Training, which is, you know, a fantastic set of educational and testing modules aimed at shifting the culture of an organization towards, you know, being much more cybersecurity savvy and much more capable of helping organizations to avoid or withstand a breach situation. So that's a really exciting new module that Mimecast has launched, and that came out of the acquisition of a small company in North America called Atata in July.
It's now common talk that we are in the fourth industrial revolution, and with this new reality, old jobs will die with new ones being created. In your view, what are some of the challenges and opportunities you see within the technology sector, both locally and globally?
I think artificial intelligence has huge potential for organizations. But I think, you know, the old sort of Darwinistic principle of adapt or die, although that sounds very stark, is really the key opportunity for human beings as they design and develop machines that become more and more capable. And artificial intelligence, I mean, we're applying it from a cybersecurity point of view, and it's giving us huge efficiencies and gains in being able to do things that either previously weren't possible or required a lot of people to do. I think that the danger and part of what society has to figure out is during this transition, the adaptability of human beings to learn new jobs or to find new things to do can take longer than the technology takes to bring about disruption.
Hmm.
So I think really focusing on an education agenda in society is important so that we don't create even bigger divides between the haves and the have-nots as, you know, technology becomes the new, you know, the new capital and becomes, you know, more concentrated around the sort of technological elite and you know, disenfranchises people who displaced. But I think all in all, in balance over the long arc, you know, a very positive thing that can be uplifting and improve the quality of life. You know, when used for good, you know, it's a terrific area to be working in.
Peter, just to conclude, just going back to your story and how you got the company started with a business partner and so on, and also to give budding entrepreneurs or technologists out here in South Africa some inspiration. In your view, how important is it to dream? Because presumably if you didn't do a bit of that, perhaps the story that you've been telling us and the evolution of Mimecast may not have unfolded as it has.
Yeah, I always joke and say, you know, to build a great business, you have to be a little bit delusional. You have to believe in something that others are not inclined to. Because if they were, then the product or service would already exist.
Hmm.
So I think it takes looking at the world slightly differently. And I don't mean completely differently. We'll leave that to Elon Musk, who's going to colonize Mars for us. I think it's just about looking at how do you make something better? How do you look at what is currently being done and conceive of a slight... And that's really what we did with Mimecast, is we saw problems being solved, but the way in which they were being solved was creating complexity and missing opportunities. And so we rode the wave of the cloud technology evolution to be able to solve that problem. I think capital is important. It's one lesson that I learned on the way through. It almost thought, as you know, we were building the business, that if we were successful, we wouldn't need any capital. And in fact, quite the opposite applies. The more successful you are, the more you want to invest in that success and pursue that and get behind it. So having a way to access capital, you know, being able to be effective in dealing with either the venture capital community or the angel investor community, you know, that becomes very important to be able to develop a business that is going to have a shot at the title.
Peter, it's been a real privilege chatting to you, and all the very best where you are. That was Peter Bauer. He's the CEO of Mimecast.